Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google Page One? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number.
Hello, this is Lady Z, a violinist. I'm coming to you because I wanted to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support so much. Thank you.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secret to success in technology, music, and business. On Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes, Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn secrets to success in both music and technology. Please follow us online at jazzandtechlounge.com and on all social networks at Lady Z, L-A-D-Y-Z-H-E. My next guest is the founder, CEO, designer, and visionary behind one of the world's leading electric instrument brands. He has designed electric violins, electric cellos, and electric basses and electric guitars. What is striking about his electric bass design is that you can get it both with and without frets. His instruments are being played by Madonna's violinist, Beyonce's Beychella Orchestra, and more. In addition, I'm also proud to be an NS Design endorsed violinist as well. I play the five-string NXTA. Lovely instrument. Love, love, love it. My next guest is the inspirational Ned Steinberger, founder and CEO of Steinberger and NS Designs. Did I say that right?
Got it right.
I got it right?
Got it right.
So, awesome.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Okay, great. I'm so glad that you have time to chat with my listeners here. I don't think it's often that people get to get a little bit of behind the scenes on how instruments are made. So what drew you to making electric instruments, and how does it feel to have one of your instruments, you know, on display at an exhibit at a museum?
Well, first of all, and those are two very different questions, but What drew me into making musical instruments was largely a chance encounter with Stuart Spector, who eventually developed his own brand, very strong brand, Spector guitar brand. But I met him at a very early stage in his career, and he was looking for a bass design. And I had spent my career thus far, I was very early in my career, in my mid-20s, I guess. I was designing furniture, especially seating, commercial furniture, for production, not for hand-making. And so when the idea of making a bass guitar, this seemed like a very interesting challenge, especially from an ergonomic standpoint, in terms of how it hangs and feels. at that time, I knew little about the field. I'm not a musician myself, which a lot of people find that very surprising. But in some ways, not being a musician is actually an advantage, because I get to focus 100% on the design work that I do. I'm not designing these instruments for myself. I'm designing them for others. I do a lot of research as to what people have a need for, but also, more importantly, I try to look deeply into the structure of any instrument that I'm designing and try to really understand how it works and how it could be improved. So that's the goal with design, is to make it work better or make it more fun or make it look nicer or whatever it is. I focus on that entirely. And I'd love to be a rock star, but that's just not in the cards for me. I don't have any aspirations in that regard. So that's one aspect of it. And so as far as, and backing up a little, what really drew me in especially was working with Stuart, making bass guitar. I was struggling to get the instrument to balance the way I wanted it to, because the tuning machines extending out on that long bass neck tend to draw the neck down and create that neck dive effect that bass players, of course, are familiar with. I really didn't like that at all, because I'm trying to make an instrument that's really comfortable and that is as ideal as possible. And that's when it occurred to me that I could move those tuning machines off the end of the neck and onto the body and solve that essential balance problem. And the belief I had, the strong belief I had as I worked with this idea, that it really, really works and it's a great thing. So that just made me more dedicated than ever to try to work through all the issues involved and try to create an instrument that was balanced, you know, the way I wanted it to and the way that would be most comfortable for players. So that's kind of that's what drew me into a whole long career. I've been making instruments now and designing and building instruments for over 40 years. So you asked about the show, you know, about having instruments in a museum. Of course, it's great to have an instrument in the museums. I have instruments in several museums at this stage. I've been around long enough, I guess, that start to get acquired here and there. Of course, the show at the Metropolitan recently was a lot of fun with an instrument there and also in the permanent collection. So that's something I do take a lot of pride in. But it's not the essence of my work. I'm making instruments that are really all about being played, about making music. When I get a communication from a player who uses one of my instruments, and they sometimes say, "Well, your instrument has inspired me in my music," that's what really motivates me most of all, to be able to provide a tool that makes it possible to have just to be more creative with your instrument, to have less impediment, full access, a broad tonal palette, and just all the things that a musician can use. I mean, these are tools. So making a great tool, that's what it's really all about for me.
So, you know, you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, and we're chatting with Ned Steinberger, the founder and CEO of NS Design and Steinberger Instruments. One thing you shared is how you basically innovated the placement of the tuners. Now, playing the violin, the tuners are in the area where the chin rest is, right? So I want our listeners to be able to visualize that. So how did you, you know, when you spoke a little bit about the bass, how you started out with the bass, but how did you come up with the feature on the violin where you have the bowing mode and the plucking mode? How did you come up with the idea that I can get a clearer, more robust fluffy sound if I change the mode of the instrument. How did that design element come about?
Well, first of all, I am the founder of Steinberger Sound Company and NS Design, but I sold the Steinberger Sound Company to the Gibson Company some 30 plus years ago, and I'm definitely not the CEO of Steinberger, so I just want to clarify that for
okay.
your audience. And so, and the other thing that's interesting to note, you're a violinist, and I originally came up with this headless concept for bass, and what is the connection between a bass guitar and a violin? Well, it's actually a connection that was made first for me by a violinist by the name of Daryl Anger, who I happened to be chatting with. And he was aware of the Steinberger bass, headless bass, and what we're doing there. And he said, you know, violin is an even bigger balance issue than the bass guitar, or a comparable one. It's a little different in the way the instrument's set up, but still weight at the end of the scroll of a violin is very negative, because that, as far as comfort goes, because that tends to be to feel a lot heavier, because it's cantilevered out over the shoulder, and any little bit of weight at the end of the neck, it feels like even more than it is as far as, you know, the stress of holding the violin in place. So taking the weight off the end of the violin was a big, you know, the once I realized that the benefit of that, that's a whole big motivation to learn about violins, understand, you know, how you can make a headless violin that was going to have those kind of balance advantages that I had achieved on the bass. And so that's what's resulted in the NS violins that we have available now and that you're playing. So a little bit of history there. And as far as the modes of operation, you know, what I call, you know, the arco mode or pitch mode or bow mode and pluck mode, they're interchangeable. But two basic modes, actually, on we have three modes on some of our more top-of-the-line models that involves some EQ. But the two key modes, pizzicato and arco, do not involve any kind of EQ or signal processing. It just has to do with the configuration of the pickup itself. And what we're able to do is select between lateral vibration, predominance of lateral vibration, that is vibration, you know, side to side on the instrument as opposed to up and down. Those side to side vibrations are what you need to get a great bowed sound, and you want to focus on the side to side energy as opposed to listening to what's going on up and down. That's why we call it a polar pickup, because we're able to select these two poles of operation. So on the one hand, you have a pickup that is very, very sensitive to the bow and just gives you a really rich bowed sound. But the reality of being in that position is that it also gives you a lot of attack, which can be desirable. If you're playing pits, gives you a lot of attack, which can be desirable, but being able to deliver a smoother, more sustained sound was important to me. And so that's where the pits mode comes in. This now, by changing the geometry of the pickups, you can get you can be sensitive to the up and down vibration, and relatively less so to the side to side. That gives you a sustained pizzicato sound, a sustained pluck sound. So really, we have the only pickup I know of that allows you to control attack and decay parameters using this technology. And it gives you just a tremendous tonal palette. You can get a great bowed sound. You can have a very percussive pitch sound if you leave it in bow mode and play with pizzicato. Or if you want to sustain pizzicato, you can switch to pizzicato mode. So this is one of the big features of our instrument that I think brings a lot of players in. And I should say one other thing, it evolved from the bass, because if it had really been just about the violin, I think I just would have focused on the the Arco mode, you know, that getting a great boat sound and Pitts, whatever it is, because Pitts is not such a, it doesn't have the same level of importance for a violin as it does for a bass, where it's often played exclusively pizzicato. So I was able to take that technology that I learned about through it, the exploration of the upright bass, and apply it all through the violin family.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. You know, I have to say that before I started playing NS Design Instruments, I played some other brands. And when I experienced the plucking mode, I was so impressed with how clear and easy it was to get a great tone, a great sound. And I think that's just awesome. So great. That's awesome that your experience with the electric bass kind of birthed this whole new approach to electric violin design. That's amazing.
Well, especially with the electric upright, because when I first decided that I was going to develop an upright electric bass, what excited me in particular actually about the upright were those long strings. You know, if you're into making a really beautiful bass sound with lots of higher harmonics, something that is rich, deep, but also it has definition, these longer strings are just the way to go. So this is an exciting thing to get into. But I started asking bass players, you know, what they would like in their electric upright bass. And I, it's funny, I got two really key answers, neither of which I could really work with that well, because the first one was that we would like our instrument to be as much like an acoustic upright as possible. And which is all well and good, but for me, with a deep belief in electric instruments, I want to explore what the electric instrument can be. I mean, and if it can't add up to anything that can compare with an acoustic instrument and nobody wants it, then so be it. But I'm going to explore what it could be, not going to try to imitate an acoustic instrument as a primary focus. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that players said to me was, well, you're never going to get a good bowed sound out of an electric, so I wouldn't really bother with that because nobody can get a good bowed sound out of an electric. And that I took that as a challenge for sure. So that's what drove a lot of the development work on the pickups, was, you know, to overcome those issues and to understand what makes a great bowed sound. And that's the key to it, you know. Musicians have, you know, any really good musician has ears that are a lot more sophisticated than mine, but it's not just about hearing, it's about understanding the possibilities and developing the technology to bring out those possibilities. And then ultimately that is judged by musicians. But that's how I work, is just, again, to try to understand what the potential is and to try to, you know, let it out of the box, and then it's up to the world of musicians to judge how that serves them or not.
Wow. So I have another question for you. So one thing that I've learned in my electric instrument journey is the difference between the active and the passive instruments. Mm-hmm. I noticed, well, I have a violin that's on order, that's being built in my loaner violin. I noticed it has two modes. It has the active mode and the passive mode. What inspired you to create that feature?
Well, the story there is you're talking about the NXTA. And essentially, one of the things that's exciting about the pickup design that we use, which I originally created for the upright bass, what we call a polar pickup system, that has a very powerful output and a powerful passive sound, and capable of sounding extremely good in a passive mode. Mm-hmm. But you have to have the right impedance matching in order to get the full benefit of these pickups, because these are piezo pickups and they are high impedance, and sometimes the amplifier it's not well matched, especially, for example, if you are plugging into a soundboard or PA system that has a low impedance input, these high impedance pickups will not sound good. So I have
a question for you. What is high impedance? What does that mean?
Well, essentially, impedance is a fundamental component of any electronic circuit. There is impedance in the circuit. Circuits which are active are low impedance, and those low impedance circuits are ideal for almost all applications in that you can have a very long cable without losing sonic properties, without having interference, substantial interference, and other factors of transmission are greatly improved with low impedance. All hi-fi systems are low impedance. Pretty much everything out there electronically is low impedance, except electric guitars and bass guitars and violins and so on use either inductance coils or piezo, and there's some other more exotic variations thereof, but magnetic pickups and piezo pickups are all high impedance until they are buffered by a preamp. So every amplifier has a preamp. And so if you have a low impedance output, which is essentially your hi-fi output, that you can plug into any amplifier and you should get full performance. But once you have a passive magnetic pickup or passive piezo pickup, you have a relatively high impedance output, and you need to make sure your amplifier has the correct impedance matching, higher input. You have an output impedance, and you want to match that with your input impedance on the amplifier. The thing is that while magnetic pickups are high impedance, much higher than an active low impedance system, nevertheless, piezo pickups are another order of magnitude higher impedance still. So that's why the impedance matching with passive piezo pickups can be an issue, because not all amplifiers are properly equipped to deal with it. If you have an active preamp on board, then you convert that to a low impedance output, and now your violin or whatever instrument you're playing is compatible with any piece of equipment out there. That's the primary advantage. It also, because with high impedance systems the matching is not always perfect, then it does result in a better tone on average, because you can depend on it and you don't have to worry about how well matched you are, and so you can, it creates overall a more dependable high quality tone than with PA with passive, which again, when everything's ideal, nothing can really beat it, but everything is not always ideal. So that's really why you want to have low impedance output. The reason for having both is that most of all, power supplies are the least dependable part of the instrument. If let's say you have a battery in your instrument, if you can switch to passive when the battery dies, of course, you can still play the gig. If you don't have a passive mode and you don't have a battery that's working, then you know, that instrument is useless. However, there's something very, very special about the instrument you're referring to. And that is that this is a very rare combination, in that this is not only a passive and active, it has passive and active modes, but it has no battery and does not require phantom power. The reason for that is that rather than being powered by a battery, it has a supercapacitor. And capacitors are used in electronic circuits for a lot of different purposes. But in addition to that application, capacitors are also capable of storing significant amounts of electricity. And they store and they power up incredibly quickly. So rather than have batteries in this instrument, we have a supercapacitor. And with essentially a wall wart, just a little, you know, thing you plug into the wall with a short cable with a phono jack on it, and you actually plug it into the wall and then plug that into the instrument. It's very counterintuitive for all of us who have been, you know, using musical instruments all these years, because you never actually plug the instrument directly into the wall. But this is just a 9-volt current coming in, and it's all set up. So when that 9-volt current comes into the instrument, it charges up the supercapacitor. It takes less than a minute, 60 seconds, to charge it up for 16 hours. So you can play this.
Wait, what? It takes only like a minute?
Yes, it takes 1 minute to charge it up. Now, it's not like a battery. It won't hold a charge for years.
Right.
You know, it will, but it will hold that charge. And I actually, it holds a charge a lot more longer than it's claimed. Because I know from experience, I don't have to charge them up that often. But in principle, you would go to a gig or you practice and you just plug it in for a minute, make sure everything's charged up. You got 16 hours guaranteed playing time, and that's a pretty long gig and or practice session, God forbid. So anyway,
I don't know anybody who plays 16 hours straight. But.
So I'm saying that you're all set and ready to go. And you don't have to worry about your battery going dead or, you know, buying another battery and putting it in. So it's very convenient. This circuit is actually manufactured by the MySci company. Mm-hmm. Great people and great invention.
So question, is the other advantage of the capacitor charging design is that it's lighter than a traditional battery?
Yes, it is. In the case of a violin, in the case of a guitar, it wouldn't really matter. But with a violin, every little bit matters. And yes, it's lighter. And that's an advantage for sure. It's a meaningful advantage.
So my final question I have for you is, what do you think has been your greatest challenge on this journey as an instrument designer? And what do you think has been your greatest success? And why?
Well, I think the greatest challenge is finding the right people to work with, finding the clients for the work I do, finding partners to develop ideas further, to, you know, business partners. You know, just making it work from a practical standpoint, you know, put bread on the table and that sort of thing. And not just about bread on the table, but about creating an environment where I can work effectively and where my work is, where there's an outlet for the work, you know, constructive outlet. That's the whole point of doing this, is to actually make something happen. And so... Mm-hmm. It's one thing to design something, it's all another thing to get it into production. So all those challenges around making it happen are the biggest challenge, I would say. The truth is that as far as success goes, we had a great deal of success initially when we came out with the Steinberger bass. And then followed with the guitar. It didn't start so well. At first, people were laughing at us because these instruments were so kind of weird looking and overpriced and, or whatever people thought, made out of plastic, you know, with a prosthetic device screwed onto the back, whatever. You know, I was asking a lot from people. We were asking a lot from customers, you know, to change their thinking about what it is how they pictured a bass guitar or guitar. So, so that I was young then, and it was, a heady experience, you know, to have my instruments played by some of the world's top bands and musicians. And, it seemed from the outside, of course, that we're having a lot of success and in so many ways we were, but that doesn't mean that it was easy or that the financial realities of running that business despite the popularity of the product, the difficulty of producing it, financing it, finding the right people to do the work and, developing all the production techniques that are necessary to make something like that reasonably efficient. So, with the success came a lot of challenges.
Wow. So what was the best thing?
The best thing? Yeah. I can't pick out one best thing. I guess maybe the quintessential moment for my career was we had gone to the NAMM show back in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And we were not doing well. People really were not interested in these crazy instruments that we were showing. Not that we didn't have a few people coming by. I mean, these were good instruments, and it wasn't like nobody was willing to even look at it seriously. But for the most part, people weren't. And but then they had this huge concert the last night, next to last night of the show, so the day before the final day. And just by luck of the draw, and don't ever let anybody, downplay the importance of a little luck here and there. So, in this case, a lot of luck, because the Dixie Dregs were playing the big gig at NAMM, and Andy West got out there with his brand new Steinberger bass that nobody had ever seen in their lives before, and just ripped it up. And the next day, our booth was mopped all day long. And that was a lesson for me on how important musicians are and obviously musical instruments are all about musicians and music. So it's not surprising that kind of informal endorsement. There's no formal endorsement there, but here he was making great music with this instrument that was very distinctive. And from then on, we really just kind of ratcheted it up.
Wow. What a story. So that is really awesome. Do you have any final thoughts or final words or want to share how people can contact you or hold of one of your products?
On our website, the best way to check in is on the NS Design website, thinkns.com. Or NedSteinberger.com, it all gets you to the same place. And sure, we'd love to hear from you. You talked earlier in the show about, the secrets of success. And I guess that the thing I would say is that for me, what has helped me in my career has worked out well is to focus in on the value added to what you do, so that if you're really committed to adding value as a top priority, my experience is that the rest tends to follow naturally from that, and good things come from that, and it's possible to do things that are of value that you care about, and also to make a living. So that's my thoughts on that subject.
Well, thank you so much. I have definitely enjoyed chatting with you about the instrument, about your journey. It's been very inspiring to me as an entrepreneur that is a little bit early on my path than you. And I just want to say,
thank you. I wouldn't want to be as far along as I am, because you're getting to the end.
Well, I just want to thank you for sharing so much, because it was really, really inspirational and informative. Very,
my pleasure. I feel
definitely edified. Thank you so much, Ned. And to my listeners, I want to remind you, you can check out his instruments by going to thinkns.com. And you can go to nedsteinberger.com as well. And even if you're not a musician, I think it would be great for you to visit the website to see the design and see just how innovative this is. I know as a violinist, I really appreciate how light the violin is, electric violin is. And when I play my acoustic violin, I do notice that the scroll is definitely big and heavy. So I've been been spoiled to an extent by your instruments, Ned.
Well, that's the idea.
Yeah, but this has been a great conversation. You're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge on any mobile phone or tablet device. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z by going to www.ladyz.com and on all social networks at LADYZHE. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time.
Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verkay Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now, worldwide. Boom! In your face.